the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Hey, we welcome you to the program. It is all about that in particular. In fact, today it actually is about that for a couple of segments. I'll tell you about that in a moment. You are tuned into the one program designed to give you the strategies that you need to help you get through retirement. That's our goal, and we're standing by, ready to crank out what I would call more quality programming and expert advice. This hour, we're going to be talking about some of the retirement income strategies that we've heard recommended to people over the years. Now, some of them are okay under a small set of circumstances, and others are just plain wrong, certainly. There are those who would tell you to just live off of interest you earn. Well, you know, I got that advice from my grandparents years ago. I think you can get 10% interest back then. Others suggest a percentage of your portfolio distribution, and still others a set percentage distribution. They say that is best. Well, we're going to tell you which method we prefer coming up right here. It does have something to do with the title of the show. In addition to that, we're also going to have Steve Allendort, our loan financial planner. He's in here to talk about using assets for income under this new program that may help you qualify more easily for a loan, which is always nice. He's also going to tell us about some of the new scams on the mortgage front that you need to be aware of. Always somebody out there trying to get you money. If you got a question for the Brain Trust, you just call us right now. Our studio lines are open, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Some lines open right now as the hour is just getting underway. Emails, those get to us via wealthed.com, our website. Just click on the Find Your Answer link. Now, the professor, Rick Plum, our main Brain Trust advisor, here with me courtesy of the wonderful people at Lucia Capital Group. They bring you this hour of the show. If you need a bucket strategy put together specifically for you, one that fits your goals, you can call the professor or anyone at Lucia Capital Group at this number, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. That's the off-air number. Preparing yourself for whatever might happen, that's one of the keys to a successful retirement plan. You do need to make sure you have a plan for whatever might happen down the line. Again, off the air, 800-644-1150. That's the number at Lucia Capital Group. On the air, that's the other important one right now, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. When we talk about having a plan, Professor Plum, oftentimes we're talking about a plan for both the accumulation phase of your life, and then there's the distribution phase of your life. And that's sort of what we're going to focus on for a moment here. What do you do? You're retired, all right? Now what? That's a big question. What now? Where's my paycheck? Oh, I've got to supply a good chunk of it.
Well, you have to supply a very large chunk for most people. I mean, their Social Security is X amount of dollars, but, you know, frankly, most people don't want to have to live on just Social Security alone. And a lot of people don't have pensions, so what are we going to do? Just take a distribution from our portfolio? That's what a lot of people seem to say, but they want to look at and never, ever, ever, ever touch principal. You can't touch principal because then you run into trouble. So you have to live on earnings alone or something like that. So what are you going to do? Put it all in bonds? I know John mentioned his grandparents earlier saying, just live off the interest. Well, back in the 70s and the 80s, 80s especially, you could live off the interest. You could put, you know, half your portfolio into a long bond portfolio and live on a 5% distribution from the entire portfolio.
That's exactly what I remember my grandmother telling me, because she says, well, you know, I'm getting Social Security. Now, she'd already had her house paid and all that stuff, but she said, I'm getting Social Security. That's part of it. I have a little bit of a pension, but the main thing is I can just stick my money into this particular account. And, you know, if you have, $200,000, well, that's an extra $20,000 a year.
Yeah.
And she says, you know, I mean, that's the best piece of advice I can give you. Don't ever touch your principal, because as they saw during the Depression, you know, everybody's principal went down. So they said, hey, 10%. There's nothing wrong with living off of 10%.
And if you didn't like bonds, just use utility stocks, because utility stocks
at dividend
back in the day were fairly stable. I mean, they didn't change much in price. They were fairly regulated, and they had very high dividends. So between utility stocks and bonds, man, you could get a bunch of interest, a bunch of cash flow, and even maybe have a little left over for reinvesting for that ugly little inflation thing. That was just the way to do it back in the day. Now, what are we going to do? Put it into a 30-year bond that pays me 3%? I'm going to put 100% of my portfolio into something that gives me a 3%. That means I have to live on, if I have $1 million, I got to live on $30,000 a year, and there's no component for inflation to it. Interest rates just aren't where they were 30, 40, 50 years ago. Dividends on stocks just aren't where they were 30, 40, 50 years ago. the nature of those utility stocks have changed dramatically. They're not the stable little animals that we used to have for our grandparents. So life has changed. All the rules that we used to use back in the day have changed, and we have to do something else. So back in the 90s, they came up with the it was 4.5% rule then, but commonly referred to as the 4% rule. Just take 4% out of your portfolio. You're going to earn 7%, so you have 3% left over for inflation, and you'll be fine for the rest of your life. In fact, based on the studies they did back then, if you took 4% plus an automatic increase every year for CPI, your money had like a 96% chance, based on historical numbers, of lasting 30 years, 65, 95. That seemed reasonable.
Now, they came up with this in the 90s. What was prior to that? Were there any suggestions?
Yeah, it was 6%.
That said 6%? People were taking like 6% out of their portfolios.
Well, you could, because you could get 10 on the bond portfolio.
So it really wasn't of course, you needed 6% just to get by year to year, to get by, keep up with inflation. Yeah.
And so times, again, change. Now all the experts, the propeller heads are talking about that 4% really doesn't work. We don't expect the same potential growth out of the stock market. We definitely don't have the same income from the interest rates on the income side of the house, whether it be dividends or interest rates. From bonds. So 4% isn't a realistic number either. In fact, the numbers that we've seen bantied about lately are 2.8, 2.5%. And that's to make sure that you have a fairly high, like 90% or better chance of survivability over a 30-year period of time. Now, the opponents of that type of a strategy say, yeah, that does work, but it also most likely, in more than probably 80% of the chances, are going to really curtail your spending habits and leave a ton of money left over for the heirs. Well, that is a goal for some people. Leaving the heirs significantly richer than you is not the goal for everybody. Some people are like, hey, look, I need to take care of me. Whatever's left can go to the kids. That's fine. They'll get something. But to make them significantly richer, because you've basically scrimped for your own retirement, doesn't make a lot of sense either. So where is the happy medium?
Well, let's talk about this for just a moment. Different ways to do this. This whole idea of interest only, it's almost impossible, I would think, these days to devise a distribution method that relies on interest only, where you have bonds. Now, on the one hand, it's predictable. You could probably call it in some ways safe, an interest only distribution.
Well, safe is in the eye of the beholder.
Well, that's what I mean. But you could, in many ways, there's no sequence of returns risk. You don't really have to worry so much about that.
You have to worry about inflation.
Yes, your principal is protected. But on the other hand, there's no room for inflation.
Right, and there's no potential growth for an unexpected issue. What if you're getting your X amount of dollars and you need a bigger infusion for 1 year, for whatever reason that might be? Well, now the only place to go for it is the cash account that you were, basically investing to get your income. So if you pull 5% more out, now you've got to cut your income going forward because you have 5% less principal. There is no other place to get the money. So the old ways of doing things don't really work that much. Now, the reality is there is no one surefire, perfect solution for everybody. Obviously, if you've got the $1 million and you need $10,000 a year, almost any plan will work. And on the other side, if you've got $1 million and you need $100,000 a year and you need it to last more than 10, 11, 12 years, almost no plan will work. It's too high of a distribution. But getting back to the typical 4% distribution rates, how do you make that work? Because most people do look at that as somewhat reasonable, and can we make it work? But so the idea is a lot of people have taken and modified the 4% rule. Take 4% and let the chips fall where they may, or take the 4% and then each year adjust the amount to 4% of the portfolio value at the end of the year, end of last year. It's kind of like doing an RMD with a flat 4% every year.
Well, and somebody could say, well, to take 4%, what if I just put it in something that barely earns anything? I know it's at least going to last 25 years, as long as it's all safe. So I don't have to worry so much about that. It'll last, and if interest rates happen to go up, I may be able to stretch it out 26, 27 years. And, after that, I'm, 80, whatever, 85, 86.
What do I really need money for?
What do I need? No, but at that point, they say, well, I've got Social Security. I should be fine just living off of that.
And that is a plan. And if you are willing to accept that, that if you make it the 25, 26, 27 years and you completely run out of money and you're willing at that time to live on Social Security alone, hey, it's a plan.
Well,
and it works for you.
But as you said, that doesn't take into account anything that you might need along the way. Anything that crops up. You got a big medical expense and, you know, you got some issues where perhaps insurance isn't covering it. What are you going to do?
And what happens if real life inflation is different than the CPI?
Mm-hmm.
And your Social Security just doesn't cut it, especially when it comes to health care later on in life. Do you really want to become basically dependent upon your kids or grandkids?
Exactly. So the interest-only distribution method, while it's easy to do, and as I said, there's no real sequence of returns risk that you have to worry about because you're living off of, you know, basically safe stuff, it's not the best way to go. Okay, we're going to excuse Professor Plum. We're going to bring him back after the bottom of the hour. In the meantime, we're going to be talking more about this after the bottom of the hour, but we will bring in Steve Allendorf, our loan financial planner. He's here every week at this time talking mortgages with you when we come back on Bucket Strategy Investing. Bucket Strategy Investing. We're here every week, and we got members of the Brain Trust, including Professor Rick Plum, and this guy sitting here with me, Steve Allendorf, our loan financial planner. You can reach him at loan, L-O-A-N, financialplanner.com. Coincidentally, his website, Steve Allendorf, loanfinancialplanner.com, or at his phone number, 888-563-1070. It's now Skyline. I want to get that right.
That's fine.
Skyline something.
Home loans.
Home loans. There you go.
That's
just
Skyline
understand
something.
Skyline. But,
there
you know, loan financial planner. You'll get all that information. Welcome back. We appreciate you being here. So rates, man, I see a bunch of threes.
They've been holding steady. 30-year fixed rates, both jumbo and conforming, as low as 3.6. 7-year loans anywhere as low as between 3 and 3.25. 15-year loans, 3%, and government loans, FHA, VA, between 3.25, 3.5, depending upon your loan amount. Rates have been fairly steady for the last three or four months.
And so that warning that we had, from other people back, you know, when rates are going to go up, they're going to go up.
They're going to eventually go up. We just don't know when.
That's it. All right. So, hey, take advantage.
Exactly.
I can almost guarantee you someday you'll be really happy that you're saying, I got a 3.6%
interest rate.
I'm
exactly.
happy about mine. Okay. Now there's a new program out for people, for borrowers who perhaps have assets, but they don't necessarily have the income to qualify for a loan.
Yeah, so asset depletion is what it's called. And although asset depletion's been around, and I'll cover a few things, the lender that I'm going over has a very unique twist on it that gives us the potential to be able to use more of that income that we can derive from asset depletion, more so than any other lenders that I have that do this particular product.
Okay, so explain asset depletion first.
All right, so different than, let's say that you're looking to qualify for a home, you're in a comfort zone, you're pulling a certain amount out of your retirement, maybe you're not touching your retirement, you're pulling money out of a liquid account, and now it comes time to qualify for a home or a bigger mortgage than you currently have, and the income flow that you're generating from maybe a W-2 job, maybe some Social Security, maybe money that you're taking out of a normal account mm-hmm. is not enough to qualify. So we have the ability, if you have a retirement account, if you're of retirement age, to start taking retirement draws to count that income, but you're actually pulling money out of the account in order to do that.
And they'll accept that as an income source.
Correct.
Okay.
Asset depletion is different. That's using the assets you have, but without having to pull any money or draw any money out on a monthly basis to begin distribution.
Now, how in the world can you do that?
Well, let's just go over standard Fannie Freddie, and they've been doing this for a while. You have to be of retirement age. The account has to be a retirement account. We're able to take 70% of the value of that account. So let's say you've got $1 million in that account. I can use 70% of that, which is $700,000. And what Fannie and Freddie require us to do is take that $700,000, divide it by 360 for 30 years, and that comes up with additional income that I can use, which is about $1,944 a month. I can use that as income to help you qualify without you having to go into that retirement account to pull that money out.
So they're saying that it's there to use. You don't have to actually be pulling it out.
They're giving you credit and a return, in this case with Fannie and Freddie, at 0%. But they're giving you credit for being able to have, or for having all that money put away and giving you a qualifying income flow. So it's not money that you're taking, But a qualifying income flow,
that's interesting.
That can get you over the hump if your other income sources don't meet the muster as far as qualifying for the mortgage that you're looking to get.
Boy, I suspect that we wouldn't have seen anything even close to this kind of program 3 years ago.
Yeah, no, this one's been around. It's, a lot of lenders just aren't aware of it.
It sounds to me like that with tighter lending standards that kind of thing probably wouldn't have passed muster, but I guess maybe it could.
No, it has. And it's realized Fannie and Freddie are doing it at 0% return.
Right, okay.
So they're being really conservative.
Freddie, yeah.
There are a couple other lenders that are doing asset depletion. I've come into one lender that we've just been approved with that has the most aggressive asset depletion program. Now, you have to have at post-closing if you're doing a purchase. So that means after you've paid for down payment and all that stuff, $1 million.
Yeah, okay, so
you can count cash at 100%. You can count mutual funds, and this can be both retirement and liquid, which is a nice thing with this lender. Mm-hmm. Is you can count mutual funds at 70%. You can count retirement funds at 70% if you're over 59 and a half, and at 60% if you're less than 59. So the difference between this program and Fannie and Freddie is that you have to be of retirement age and have a retirement account for me to do the asset depletion.
When you say retirement age, what you're talking about is be able to take the money out of your account
without penalty
59 Correct. And a half.
Correct. Yeah. With this lender, you can be 35 years old. And if you have $1 million combined after doing our percentages at 70% of mutual mm-hmm. funds and retirement accounts, I can potentially use that income stream to help you qualify. This lender is way more aggressive because they'll allow me to do an 84-month average instead of 360.
Okay, so that gives you more.
Correct. They require that we show 12 months of statements for the accounts that we're using because they're also going to look through each account to calculate your average return. They cap the return at 5%. So let's say, for instance, a regular cash account, maybe you're getting 1%. You've got $200,000 in a cash account at 1%. Over 84 months, that's an additional $2,466 in income. Okay, now, although I was doing this morning, and we would need a little bit more than this,
sure, but this
to give me the million.
Right.
But let's say that you've got $300,000 in, well, let's say, so I get this right here, you've got $500,000 in cash, 1%, $5,000 a month. Okay? You've got $300,000 in mutual funds. Let's say that you're getting an 8% return on the mutual funds. We can cap out at 5. Over 84 months, I'm able to use 70% of that 300 or $210,000, and that's an additional almost $3,000 a month in income that I'm going to be able to use.
So you're already up to like an additional $8,000 of income.
And then let's say you've got $500,000 in retirement as well.
You're doing well, by the way.
You're doing well. And at 70%, that's 350. And let's just say at 3% is the return on your retirement investments. That's another $4,600. You add that all up, and that's an additional $13,000 in income on that $1 million. Whereas, remember, Fannie and Freddie, I'm only able to use 1944.
Yes, because it was spread out over a whole long
period. Over a longer period
months.
Of time. So
wow.
This lender is very, very aggressive with this particular product. They'll do 3, 5, 7, and 10-year fixed rate products. They'll even do interest only. You have 30% that you need as a down payment or 30% equity if you're doing a rate and term refinance.
Okay, so 30% down, but you've got a
Correct.
Lot of assets at this point, so that shouldn't be
Correct.
An issue.
Correct. So 30% down, 30% equity on a refinance. Mm-hmm. They'll do cash out at 65%, but they'll only do cash out fully amortized. They won't do that interest
sure.
only.
Yeah.
They'll do single family, primary residence. They'll do 2 units. And they'll do second homes on the product.
So this is for people who would like to maybe purchase a home. They've got a lot of assets, but they don't have the income to qualify for.
They're not
for
pulling
it.
The income out of it.
Right.
They could,
it's
but they
sitting,
don't.
It's sitting idle or whatever, waiting for their retirement.
Correct. So
yeah.
This is another way that we can work your whole income and asset portfolio to help you qualify in a loan that maybe you've been rejected for 2 or 3 times
yes.
by other lenders who don't understand how to use this or don't have this type of
right.
program.
And the good thing is you don't actually have to pull the money out. You can
on
leave
this
it
program,
sit. That's vital.
It's right there. You're not
That's
having to pull
vital.
It out.
That's vital. Well, you got to talk to Steve Aldort about this, folks. His number, 888-563-1070, or you can reach him at loan, L-O-A-N, financialplanner.com. Learn all about this. He'll help you out. Steve, we'll see you next week.
Always a pleasure.
Take care. Professor Rick Plum rejoins me coming up next right here on Bucket Strategy Investing. All right. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, talking to you about your dough, about your money, about your strategies and all that stuff. We're going to get back into the strategy portion here in just a moment or two. I want to remind you, too, that every Tuesday afternoon, and this is only online at wealthed.com, the hugely popular Social Security Show with me, Johnny Dean, and Professor Rick Plum happens at 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern time. You can watch it live at wealthed.com, W-E-A-L-T-H, wealthed.com. We're on every week. We talk about Social Security. We talk about some of the rules for Social Security, a lot of the strategies involving filing and all that stuff, and we answer your questions. We get a lot of emails on this and some phone calls. There's an off-air recorded line. We'll tell you about that. Don't forget, too, that you can also download our guide on the new rules or the changes or whatever that have been going on over the last couple of months, the ones that have actually already happened to Social Security. Professor Plum has put together this free guide, which you can download. You just go to our Facebook page, Wealth Ed, on Facebook, Wealth Ed, or just go to our website, wealthed.com. Click on the Facebook icon. That'll take you right there as well. Click on the link there at Facebook and you're done. Download it and read it and you'll learn all about it. As I said, we'll also talk about it on the Social Security Show. That's at wealthed.com every Tuesday, 1 Pacific, 4 Eastern time. Okay, our lines are open, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. We have plenty of room on the phones right now. So any question that you have, you can get through right away at 877-P-L-A-N-N-E-R. So, before the previous segment, we were talking about methods of taking money out of your portfolio, Professor Plum. One, the old-fashioned, just live off the interest.
Yep.
Back in the day when you could get 8, 9, 10%, even when you could get 6 or 7% guaranteed.
Interest. I mean, from a high-quality corporate or a government bond.
Or a government bond. You could buy, yeah, exactly. You have a 30-year bond or whatever, and it'll pay you a nice 6, 7%, whatever it was.
Municipals would pay 5 and 6.
Yeah, that's right. And we're not talking about, you know, the dead
in the waters. Not Stockton or Detroit.
Well, I don't want to mention specific cities, but yes, you know the cities we're talking about. No, you could. You could get a fairly high quality. But, of course, that doesn't work anymore, at least not now. I don't know when it's ever going to work again. So the interest-only one, probably not necessarily your best bet, especially if we happen to have some bout of inflation. I don't know when we're ever going to have that. So now we look at this, Professor Plum. The other way of distributing is the so-called 4% guideline. Rule, guideline, suggestion.
And there's several ways to run that rule, guideline, suggestion, and that is you just take 4% of the initial value and you adjust it as necessary for inflation and, you know, let the chips fall where they may. You keep a balanced portfolio in place. This is where the studies were done. They were done based on a 50-50 stock bond mix that was managed as one nice piece of the pie, and it kept getting rebalanced back to that 50-50 mix. That's one way to do it. The other was to do a 4% distribution but adjust it every year for increases in your portfolio or decreases in your portfolio. So after a good year in the market, you could have more income. After a bad year in the market, you would have to take less income for the following year. I've also heard people say, well, just don't take any income when the market's down until it gets back to where you started from. And so as long as you start off on the high note, things are good unless it comes back down to where you started. So there's lots of things going on, but the problem with every one of those are that you have to adjust your income potentially. And it doesn't let you control what's going on. And it unfortunately does the worst thing you can do in creating a retirement income, which is it potentially takes money out of a declining portfolio. And when you take money out of a declining portfolio, that asset that you sold off to create the income that you needed will never grow back. And so you can't. It's a reverse dollar cost averaging aspect, and it's just going to have a problem. So the only way that it works is if the market goes up substantially in the early years, or it goes up every year while you're alive. Has the market ever gone up every year? And are you lucky enough to see a 20, 30, 40% increase for the first 2 or 3 years while you're retired? Now, maybe you are that lucky, but you won't know it, at least not for a couple of years. And maybe your luck just ran out, and the next couple of years won't be as lucky. I don't know. Unfortunately, when we talk about planning, we're talking about creating sustainable income drives. You can't rely on luck, although some people try. And that's what fails many times. So how do you go about doing it?
Yeah, so what you were just talking about was what? Maybe not taking, either taking less income or no income?
Taking less income or no income based on what the market tells you you can and can't do.
How do you do
that? What if you had planned the trip of a lifetime next year? In 2017, you're retired, you've been retired for a year, you and your spouse are deciding that we are going to take the trip of a lifetime and we need to, you know, be able to take X amount of dollars out of our portfolio next year to make it happen. And this year doesn't turn out to be a good year. And so by the rules that they've set forth, you can't take the money out, or you can't take as much money out. So instead of doing everything you want, you have to cut back by 50% what you wanted to do on your retirement dream vacation. Well, that stinks. I mean, I don't like that.
And I don't understand who would suggest this as being a great way to go.
It's very common.
And what do they tell people? You just spend less. To me, that would be unacceptable.
And that's what. But if you're in retirement and you're looking at your portfolio and it's down, what are you going to do? You're going to say,
I'm going to say must be something else. There's got to be something besides this that's working better than that.
And one of the things we've done over the many, many, many years that we've been doing this is look at who does create sustainable distribution incomes and do it, you know, all the time and every time. And who does it? Well, look at what pensions do. How do pensions make sure that they have enough money to pay out to all the people that are retired going forward? And they have to figure out a way to make that income every year. They can't just stop that income. Now, they do have one slight advantage, is that they have new people that are paying into the system.
Yes.
That they're also paying out. But they still manage it in a different way from the 4% rule, the 50-50, 60-40 mix. They look at creating a distribution event that doesn't rely on the market. They understand that principal is not a specific dollar in your portfolio. Principal is a value. So when you say don't spend principal, it doesn't mean that I can't spend the original dollar that I put in. It's just that means if I spend one of the original dollars I put in, I need to have earned, or at least try to earn, another dollar in some other area that can be added to the portfolio so that the overall value stays the same or about the same. Because that's what we're really trying to accomplish, maintain a certain value. The specific dollars don't matter, but people, when they hear don't spend principal, they're talking about I put in a specific $100,000 into that investment. That investment never fall below $100,000 or whatever the number was you put in. The fact that you may have put in $100,000 there and $100,000 over on the other side, and this one went down by 10, but the second investment went up by 12, you're actually ahead of the game in that example. How dare you spend $10,000 of principal of my original investment? They don't see the big picture. Mm-hmm. And so that's where, you know, a lot can be learned from the way a pension manages money. They look at value. They look at overall how things are we replacing the income or the assets that we're drawing down in one area? And they also understand that we can accept a lower interest rate on money that we need to keep very safe, at least, but we don't want to tie it up for a huge length of time. Compounding interest, we've been told, is one of the greatest things that were ever created in, you know, math, however it was, whether it was created or discovered.
That's right, yeah.
You know, but it takes some time for compounding to actually really work well for you. The difference between a 1, 2, 3% rate of return, 5, 6, 7% rate of return over a 3, 4-year period of time is not all that great. But the risk that it takes to get that additional return over that short period of time is very great. Now, the long periods of time, the difference in return is very, very dramatic, but the risk isn't. So in the short period of time, the risk is the problem, not the return. On the long period of time, you want the return because the risk is less of a problem. And so what you do is you identify and you create safer accounts that you can actually draw down principal and interest, leaving the rest of the portfolio alone to grow, to take advantage of compounding interest, to allow for some volatility that is inevitable. But the only way to get a better than inflation type rate of return is to have volatility. So there is no free lunch. There is no 8% guarantee.
Yeah, so you're talking about carving off a section, whatever it is, or at least having a piece of your portfolio that no matter what the market does, up, down, sideways, whatever it is, is not going to be hurt by what you're doing. You're taking money out. You know that you've got for the next, call it 6-7 years, X number of dollars, and you're going to take all that money out by the end of the
term. If I need $10,000 a year, you know, for the next 7 years, $70,000 in a bank account will do that, won't it? Because it's not going to lose a dime, and I can take 10 out for the next 7 years, and I won't have to worry, did the market crash? Doesn't matter. I've got my money. But did the market recover? What's going on? That's why time horizon is a very important issue.
Yeah, and if you've been watching the show or listening to the show for any number of years, you're sitting there thinking, boy, this sounds an awful lot like
buckets.
A bucket strategy. So, yes, we'll explain why we believe that this is the best way to go when we come back. We'll also take your phone calls, you know, any topic at all, whatever money question you have. Brain Trust is here. 877-PLANNER is our number here in the studio. 877-752-6637. Lines open for you. Money questions answered when we come back on Bucket Strategy Investing. Getting hungry for a little rubber biscuit right here. Bucket Strategy Investing. Who's mispronouncing some of these words?
I don't even know they are words.
That's what makes that fun. Okay. Hey, listen, the words of wisdom coming up at the various Lucia Capital Group Retirement Income Strategies workshops. Just want to mention this. There are more coming up next month, this month, and whatever. So if you want to join the Brain Trust, meet Professor Rick Plum, Terry Keyes, and the local advisors, wherever you happen to be. We're presenting some more of these. And the way you sign up is you go to our website, wealthed.com, wealthed.com. Find out where we're going to be. As I said, a few different cities left. And if you'd like to join us, we would love to see you there. Learn all about some of these retirement income strategies that we've been talking about on this particular program today. You can get in-depth information and, of course, get your money questions answered. Whatever it is, retirement doesn't matter. They'll answer it all in person. So check it out, wealthed.com, live events tab, wealthed.com. And they're all free, too. How cool is that? Okay, 877-PLANNER. I want to get to a few more calls before the top of the hour. Let's bring in Rick in Minneapolis next. Hello, Rick.
Thank you for taking my call. I am 62, my wife's 63. My original plan was to file and suspend at 66 and then wait for me to be 70 and have her start taking the Social Security at 66. She was 62 by last December 15th. Is that plan totally out the window, or is there something I need to do before April 29th?
Well, there's nothing you need to do between now and April 29th because there's nothing you can do. When did you turn 62?
February 15th, just a few weeks ago.
Okay, so you are not old enough to do either one of the strategies anymore. To be able to do the file and suspend strategy, you needed to be 66 before the end of April of this year. You're not going to make it. There's nothing you can do to make that happen. And your wife can't do it either. To be able to do a restricted application, you had to be 62 before the end of last year. Your wife made that deadline. You did not. So you can't do you can't take a restricted application from her. Whenever you do apply for a benefit, you're going to be applying for your own benefit, assuming yours is larger than your spouse's. Now, do you know what your benefit looks like at full retirement age?
$2,400.
Okay, good benefit. And your wife's?
$800.
Yeah, there's unfortunately not a lot of options that you're going to be able to deal with now. You could potentially, have your wife apply whenever she wants to apply before you turn 66, and you could take half. No, you can't. You can't even do that. She could but having her wait, it's not going to do a whole lot of good either, because her benefit will grow from $800 to $1,200 at age 70, so it's not going to do any good for her to wait. You really have lost all your options in this case, and there's nothing you can do about it. April 29th doesn't matter to you.
Your plan would have worked great prior to what they enacted, Rick.
All right, well, all those things considered, should I start taking both of ours at 66, or does it make sense for both of us wait till I'm 70?
Well, let's talk about how old you each think that you might make it. How long do you think you'll live?
90.
Both of you think you're going to live until 90?
Yes.
Well, then one of the things you could potentially do, see, you want to wait for yours until 70, though. So you could wait till 70. Yeah, and almost, if you both are going to live till 90, it makes sense for both of you to wait till at least 66, maybe even till 70. You could potentially have her take her benefit at 66.
Let's say this, Professor Plum, if I can throw this in, what if they want to maybe hedge their bets that only one of them will make it?
You know? Well, have her take her benefit at 66, and then you wait until 70. And when you take your benefit at 70, she'll get a step up on her benefit to the 50% of your full retirement age benefit, not the age 70 benefit. But that's like her waiting until 70 anyway, except for that she gets to take hers at 66. So she takes hers at 66, you wait until 70.
All right, thank you.
Okay, all right, Rick, thank you for the call. We can explain more of this in another hour because we're running out of time for this hour. But it's a strategy that used to work. And anyway, okay, I want to get to one more before the top of the hour. Archimedes, you're up next in Union City, New Jersey. Hi there, how can we help you?
Hi.
Hi, how can we help you?
I have a $25,000 universal life insurance policy at 6% interest every month. I would like to know, how do I go about in getting income from that policy at retirement age? I'm 50 years old right now, and I just have cash value of maybe $700.
How long have you had this policy?
A few years, like 10 years.
Okay. 6%. It was probably paying 6% when you started it 10 years ago. I'd be surprised if it's still paying 6% now, but it's still probably paying 3 or 4%. The way you get an income or an asset, from this is when you get older, 50, when you're 65 or whatever, you can withdraw from the cash value an amount equal to your premiums that you put in. So if you've been putting in a couple $100 a year, total it up, you can take. And then if you still have the ability to take cash value over and above that, you would borrow out anything else that they would let you borrow. There's no taxable event on that. Now, the reality is you've had it for 10 years. You've only got $700 invested in it as far as cash value. How much are you putting into it every year?
No, just about $60 a month.
So $60 a month, that's $720 a year. So over 10 years, you've put in $60 a year?
Is that $60 a year, did you say? What?
Right, yeah. To retirement age will be 67. So my full retirement age, because I'm 50.
Right, so how much have you been putting into the policy each year, each month?
Oh, that's the amount that I told you, about $60 a month.
So you're putting in $60 a month. So that's $720
right.
a year. And 10 years into this policy, you only have $700 of cash value?
Because I had taken out a loan before, that's why.
Okay.
A long time ago. Yeah.
This policy is not going to provide you very much in retirement because the loan is not allowing it to grow. Now, if you pay back the loan and you start paying more money into it, but are you investing in your Roth IRA? Are you doing other investing?
I have my 401k from the Thrift Saving Plan. I have 50% in common stocks, 30% in small caps, and 20% in international.
Okay, well, for somebody that's going to be 10, 15 years out from retirement, that's not a bad way to go. You just have to, what you need to do is put as much money in this life insurance as they'll let you put in.
Yeah.
And then later on, you can take out your basis, withdraw the basis, borrow any remaining amount. You've already seen what the borrowing does.
Tell you what, Archimedes, we got to take a break here. If you want to hang on for just a minute or a little bit less, we can talk to you during the top of the hour news here if you have some more questions on this. So don't go away. We'll be happy to talk to you about that. If you have any other questions or anyone watching or listening needs to talk to the Brain Trust off the air, Professor Rick Plum at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. Another hour is just ahead of Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.